Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, everyone. Just wanted to give you a heads up for this episode of Unreasonable Doubt. Adult language in the interview. First time ever, really, on Unreasonable Doubt. Consider this like Unreasonable Doubt After Dark. Spicy language if you listen to this in the car with kids, or if you yourself adverse to adult language, be forewarned. All right, here we go. Schadenfreude, everybody must have screamed, ah! He's a sung hero. A little pushy. Are you back from listening to Stairway to Heaven twice? Now, those are just words I looked up on the internet.
Unreasonable Doubt, a podcast about West Virginia University basketball, starts now.
Hello! From the studio in Nitro, West Virginia, this is Unreasonable Doubt. It's a podcast about West Virginia University basketball. I'm Josh Witt, and the season is approaching. We're under 60 days until the George Mason charity exhibition game. And we've got a new coach, Josh Eilert. Don't know much about him. Know his background. Could point him out on the bench. Could point him out in a lineup. Like, which one is Josh Eilert? I could point to him. But don't really know him that well. And the way to get to know somebody is through interviews. And he was on three guys before the game. Spent over an hour with those guys. Definitely check out that podcast. And impressions of Josh Eilert in that interview. I had a hard time critiquing Josh Eilert as far as what he's saying. And he's not, I mean, the first impression is not a ton of coach speak. Like, he spoke very honest about his opinions and evaluations of past players, current players, not very, you know, pointing out flaws, where they need to improve, what they're good at. Just, he was asked questions, and instead of saying whatever he wanted to say, regardless of what the question was, I'm not pointing any fingers there, he actually answered the question. I'm pointing fingers. So that is refreshing. And I don't know how that translates into performance. And we're going to get to know Josh Eilert as the head basketball coach throughout the regular season and hopefully the postseason. Seems like a calm guy. Seems like a quiet, confidence guy. You know, very confident, very comfortable in his skin. Honest about the circumstances in front of him. Circumstances that gets him to the point of being an interim head coach. And you need to listen to the interview, but some of the things I really liked that he was talking about, he gave voice to the idea of recruiting guys that are on your roster already. Retention recruitment of how do we, if I get this job, how do I retain guys who are here to keep them in the fold to get some continuity? It should be everybody's goal. I don't hear a lot of that talked about. So to, given the circumstances of how he gets the job and putting a whole new coaching roster in place, essentially, it's a great idea to speak about and to talk about how you've done that. Really like that. He gave voice to being annoyed by how how large that interim font was when the announcements came out that he got the job, that it bugged him, because of course it did. And so he could have said coach speak or kind of laughed it off, and he did kind of laugh it off. But he did say, paraphrasing, annoyed by how gigantic the word interim was compared to the rest of the font about head coach. I liked it. Just shooting straight, shooting honest. He feels good about Raekwon Battle getting a waiver, which is what has been reported. So hopefully that goes the way of his feelings. And one of my favorite parts, when asked about the, how to describe Jose Perez, Teddy Allen was brought up, and he did say that Jose Perez reminded him of Teddy Allen, but like Teddy Allen with his head on straight, which you totally understand what he's saying. I don't think that he said it in a dry humor way, where I don't think he's taking a shot at Teddy Allen, but it's high praise for Jose Perez. As far as, you know, Jose Buckets, could we have Jose Buckets? Josh Eilert gave the impression that that's possible. So definitely check out that interview. Let's get to know Josh Eilert. Speaking of getting to know someone, I have a special guest on the podcast this week. He lives in Los Angeles, California. He's a screenwriter. He's a writer. I know him from his podcasting work. Currently does a podcast with Will Sasso, the Dudesy Podcast. Very funny, interesting, outside perspective. Chad lets you know his knowledge of WVU basketball right out the gate. Chad Colchin is my guest this week. Here's my interview with Chad. All right, Chad Colchin, welcome yes. to Unreasonable Doubt, a podcast about West Virginia University basketball.
Thank you very much. I have to say, I'm not very well versed on West Virginia basketball. I do know you are the Mountaineers, I believe.
Is that that's right, dude. Yeah.
Okay. I do know that. That's about where my knowledge of West Virginia basketball ends.
That is a fantastic start, and I won't bombard you with basketball questions, but there are some later. But I'll start with a basic one. I've lived a sheltered life. I've never been to California. What is it like living in Los Angeles, California?
I personally love it. You know, it's a big city. It's got problems just like any big city has. But there's just so much shit to do out here. It's the weather's always pretty good. I don't see myself living elsewhere.
And you're podcasting, but you've got a bunch of different things that you've done creatively, including writing. You wrote books, you write TV stuff, movies. How does podcasting affect your writing? Because I listen to other podcasters who have a writing background, and it just kind of trails away. I'm interested to hear your thoughts on how podcasting affects your process of writing.
It fucking hurts it, dude. I mean, it's podcasting takes a lot of time, right? And so does writing. And so, you know, if you're doing a lot of one, the other one will suffer. And I do feel like that has been the case. That said, I also feel like podcasting puts you in kind of a different creative mode, which does lend itself in one way or another to like what you're doing writing. Like, you'll have to come up with concepts, or I mean, shit, I do a podcast called Game of Roses, where we break down The Bachelor like a sport statistically and everything. And we wrote, my co-host on that show and I wrote a book. So called How to Win The Bachelor, that uses all of our stats and shit like that. So that's like a type of book that I never thought that I would write. I never thought I'd write a nonfiction book, but yet I've done it. And that's because of podcasting. So it's at least affected it in that way.
Yeah. No, I could just totally imagine, because it's a totally different medium. And I didn't think about the time crunch, because I feel like writing takes a lot of time too. So it's interesting to hear you say like that's a lot of time goes into podcasting, where I feel like it's the same with writing, but I've never been a writer I'm barely a podcaster. So of your different creative outlets, and we've mentioned a bunch of them, is there one that you find the most fulfilling, and why is that, do you think?
I think it's writing books, because it is complete creative control. You don't really have, I mean, you may have an editor or whatever if you publish it at one of the big publishers, and maybe they'll have a note here or there, but really everything that is in the final product is just coming from your head. There is nothing else like that. Even in podcasting, like, we're having a conversation, so this is a 50-50 split of what we're both putting into this.
Right.
TV, movies, writers just get fucking treated like shit, kicked around left and right, rewritten a million times. Whatever you write in TV and movies will never be the thing that finally ends up on the screen. So you have much less creative control there. That said, I really like podcasting too, for the same reason. I ain't getting notes from fucking anybody on any of the podcasts I do. I'm just thinking of something funny and doing it or whatever. And that is like pretty fulfilling as well. But I think ultimately it's books for me. Awesome. Is my favorite.
Yeah. So mine for you is podcasting, and you and Will and Tommy Blancha, the 2-minute podcast. Now you and Will Sasso are co-hosts of the Doozy podcast, the first podcast entirely run by AI.
Yep.
I really enjoy it. I don't know how to describe it to friends. It's very difficult to kind of elevator pitch. This is what Doozy is. How do you describe it to people when you're like, I do this podcast with Will Sasso called Doozy?
I mean, it is hard. You're right. I basically just say, like, I do this podcast with Will that it's created by and controlled by an artificial intelligence. And then people are like, what? And then you have to kind of like pull them into the shallow waters of like what really the capabilities of modern AI actually are. Because I think a lot of people don't believe that something like this is possible, or they're not aware of the fact that AI is doing as much as it is right now and still continuing to add new kind of capabilities to its repertoire, I suppose. But yeah, I mean, basically, I just say that, like, if you're interested in AI or you like comedy, this is the show for you. That's pretty much my elevator
pitch. Because it is, in one sentence, I feel like I described it, but it doesn't like break the surface of what's going on in the podcast. And y'all been doing it a year and a half. How much it's even evolved a little bit as AI is evolving. Sure. And it's, I mean, so many different stories, the Tom Brady cease and desist, all of the Tom Hanks that's not Tom Hanks that has morphed into, like, it's hard to explain now. There's a video quality of him being on set in movies that don't exist. It's blowing my mind, and it's fantastic.
Oh, well, dude, I'm glad you're enjoying it. I really do think that it's kind of like you're saying, it's evolving as AI technology is getting better and being able to do more things. It seems like the Doozy AI is like incorporating pieces of that or something. I don't know. I don't know if it's proprietary. I don't really know what it is, but definitely when I'm reading news about like, oh, this AI thing can now do like text to video, within a couple of weeks, Doozy will be turning out shit like that, you know? And I just feel like where we're headed with AI in terms of what media it can make, I think we're on the verge of like an entirely new thing, something that is not movies, not TV, not a video game, some new thing that only AI makes. I think we're right around the corner from that.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
That's fantastic. And I'm seeing it in real time. And on the latest episode of Doozy, you talked a little bit about the future of AI in sports. This is a basketball podcast.
Sure.
We've got shot robots, not a lot of range of motion yet, kind of seem far off on AI basketball players. But I could see AI in a coaching staff kind of situation. What do you think of the idea of AI coaches in basketballs and other sports?
I think at the very least, well, I mean, I don't know. Look, I think people always want like some human element in shit like that. I think they want to feel like it's run by a person. That said, that person is going to have a fucking iPad with an AI on it that's going to tell you exactly what play to be calling in any given situation. When a new player fucking comes off the bench and they rotate people out, it's like, okay, how do we shift up? And it basically is going to be, I think, in all sports, not just basketball, all sports that have coaches, those coaches are going to be using AIs to get second by second, at least suggestions of what plays they should call or who they should be putting in the game or, you know, whatever, anything that a coach can control in a game, I think will be AI assisted. I mean, that's got to be happening now. I can't imagine, like, you know, when you're looking at the NBA or the NFL or Major League Baseball, hundreds of millions of dollars behind some of these fucking teams, that they don't have every available advantage at their fingertips.
Absolutely.
They're all doing it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you see tablets on the sidelines of sports right now. Sure. I think there's like laminated things with statistical information. But when you get into that real time situation, it has to be the next step of, all right, give me your thoughts on this, and they use it or don't. And then even add to a point of like, this is what we're going by. And I don't know how forthcoming people will be about that. As far as, just the AI told me to do it and I'm doing it because people take credit for stuff. But it'll be interesting to see where it goes.
Yeah,
you live in California. You've also lived in Texas, which is in the Big 12 conference area. Where did basketball
for rank? Now?
For now, a lot moving parts. Where did basketball rank in the sports hierarchy of your time living in Texas? I can't imagine it's high on the list based on
not high, because the Mavericks sucked when I was a kid.
Right.
You know, and I mean, I grew up in Dallas, so, and we didn't really give a shit about the fucking Rockets or anything, or San Antonio Spurs. Like, no one, the Spurs were good. They had David Robinson when I was a kid.
Right.
They were getting better, I should say. But yeah, we weren't like super into basketball. It was really football, obviously, in Dallas was like the king sport. You had to play that like as long as you could, basically, which for me was about, I think sophomore year in high school is the last year I played football, because like I'm 5'8" and, you know, in Texas, I was a cornerback, and I remember just going up against some wide receiver from another team who was like 6'2", just fucking jacked. And I tried to tackle him, and I just got like a knee straight in the top of my fucking helmet, and it was over. I was like laid out.
This
I
is
probably
it.
Was concussed and just never treated for it. And I was like, fuck this shit. I'm just going to play baseball. But yeah, it was mainly football. But I have recently in my adult life really started to pick up basketball, pro basketball, primarily because a good friend of mine is like heavily into the Lakers. And so I was like, fuck it. I need to have something to talk to her about other than our work shit. Let me start watching basketball. And over the past couple of years, I've dove deep into pro basketball.
You got West Virginia Mountaineers. Fantastic. Yeah. Have you been to the state of West Virginia before?
No, I have not. Never.
So I get a good outside perspective on this. This is a colleges going back and forth. West Virginia has a tradition, WVU, of singing Country Roads, John Denver, after wins. And other fan bases give us crap of, it's not really about West Virginia. It's Western Virginia. Read the lyrics, look at it. They're talking about Shenandoah Mountains or Shenandoah River, Blue Ridge Mountains. Outside perspective, when you hear the lyrics of Country Roads, do you think the song is about the state of West Virginia or Western Virginia, or you're indifferent?
Indifferent. nor would I give you shit or any fandom shit for doing anything, for singing a song that, let's say it's not, it's literally says, this is not about you. Who gives a shit? If you enjoy it, make it part of the culture.
Chad, it makes so much sense what you're saying, and yet the internet is a terrible place, and it is, it gets so much traction and so much heated arguments about, you get maps out and like, here's where the Blue Ridge Mountains is. Was like, yeah, but it kind of cuts through the Eastern Panhandle. All right, indifferent. I'm more indifferent as well. Wanted to get an outside perspective.
Did you go to West Virginia, may I ask?
I did not. It's our pro team. I went to West Virginia State.
Got it.
Lower in the state, but like family thing. Dad liked WVU. Yeah, yeah. He didn't go there. Not universal, because there's a pocket of Marshall fans. It's really a WVU state. And so that's how I got in it. And it so
like in LA for a while, when I graduated college, LA didn't have a pro football team. And so USC, which is where I went, was like the LA pro football team.
Right. Yeah, exactly the same thing. And it's just in a small state. It's just you see this everywhere. So it's kind of the same thing. Final question. Another outside perspective question. And I'm just going to read the question. West Virginia University has an interim head coach for this season.
Okay.
He's coaching for his job.
Yep.
Having no frame of reference besides they're the Mountaineers. Will he do well enough to keep his job after the season, or will the Mountaineers be looking for a new coach in the spring?
Let me ask you some questions to give my answer.
Got it.
If I may.
Please.
What was their record last year? How did the last coach do?
The last coach is a Hall of Fame coach.
Okay.
Bob Huggins. He had a messy offseason. Google it later if you want to. You don't have to. But they made the NCAA tournament. Guy's been here for like 16 seasons. Mm-hmm. Alma mater. He did go to the school. So well-renowned. Out.
He retired or he was pushed out?
That's a very good question, Chad. Let's go with the latter. Let's say he was pushed out of things of his doing.
Wait, were these things like nefarious? Was this like off the field type shit? Was he like molesting players or something?
Okay, so not that, but he definitely did things that put them in a position to say, you've got to leave. Now, he is at September, whatever date this is. It's still, he's going back and forth with his lawyers and the University of,
I'm actually not resigned. So can I have my office back? It's that kind of weird, crazy,
what?
Out there.
Is the shit he did criminal?
Nah, he had a DUI. I guess that's criminal, but like he's in a program where it's like he can technically say it's not on my record because if I go through this program, I'm.
But he wasn't like fucking with students or anything. He wasn't doing any of like the real bad shit that some of these guys do.
Not correct. So a level lower than that, but enough to he said a homophobic slur twice on the radio to get the ball started, then capped it off with a DUI, and he's out.
Got it. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Okay. But he had a good enough record to make it to the tournament.
And right.
How did they do last year?
Did not win a game. They lost in the first round.
First round. Fuck. All right.
So and did they get steamrolled
by a number one or something?
No. It was a close as far as like seeding. They and now 10% of that team is coming back. But now with college sports, they've got good players coming in. It's just a matter of in one season, can you pull it all together with a new coach? Right.
Okay. And so,
so there's the context.
Where did they get this new coach from?
He has been with WVU since the last guy came to WVU in various jobs. He was started as a video coordinator, was on the bench for a couple of years as an assistant coach. And then he was the guy that they looked for outside guys. But in June, where all of the hiring had already taken place, it was like, all right, let's just run this for a year. They put in the graphic, Chad, like gigantic letters, interim. Like, no doubt about it. You've got one season. He even said in a recent interview, like, I can't believe how big that font was. So that's what he's stepping into. The guy after the Hall of Fame guy.
Yeah.
With all the stuff that I told you about, plus more, and all new roster, essentially, that's what he has to go on for one season in what I would argue the toughest conference in America.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's a hard job. I won't sugarcoat this. This motherfucker is up against it. Like, the school has no faith in you. They're putting the fucking giant interim letters on the thing.
Such a tough look, yeah.
You're only getting 10% of your fucking team back. You're in the shadow of a guy who's been there doing it well for a long, long time. And it's is it this guy's first head coaching job?
He's never been a head coach before the college level.
Right. So it's on a big stage. I mean, look, it boils down to this. I think he has a very small chance of doing well, but that's not zero. And if he does it, it will blow people's fucking minds.
Exactly. Exactly. And I have bias, but I want an outside perspective. And that is the fair outside perspective.
I think what you're going to look for, is the schedule out? Do you know who they're playing first?
No, we've got like the beginning of the schedule, but like the meat of the schedule, we know who they're playing, but not when and where.
Okay. So usually for West Virginia, is the first game of the season just like a fucking tomato can that they set them up
it's
with?
It's tomato cans for a couple of months with a couple of real competition. And then the crazy part happens the rest of the year. Right.
So what you're hoping for in the early season then is that he does not lose to one of these unranked, just fucking like D3 schools or something. You know, they don't play D3 schools, I'm sure, but you know what I mean.
Exactly. No, you've got it. You're a basketball guy, Chad. You know exactly what's going on. You're speaking the language 100%. So this is awesome. No, you got it right. So I appreciate the time. Thank you for doing this, Chad Colton. Thank you for joining me on Unreasonable Doubt, a podcast about West Virginia University basketball.
My pleasure, man. Thanks for having me.
Big thanks to Chad for joining me on the podcast. Find Chad on Twitter, X, at Chad Colchin. Listen to Dudesy wherever you listen to podcasts. Listen to his other podcast, Game of Roses, breaking down The Bachelor. Find that wherever you listen to the podcast. Speaking of plugs, listen to West by Pod, the other Smoking Musket podcast focused on WVU football. West Virginia beat Duquesne in a 6-hour game, so they'll be breaking it down this week. Read everything coming out of smokingmusket.com. Follow the Twitter feed at Smoking Musket. That's it for this episode of Unreasonable Doubt. Listen on all the podcasts platforms. Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube. Until next time, I'm Josh Witt, Josh Eilert, the WVU interim head basketball coach for the 2023-2024 season. He has 0 wins and he has 0 losses.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy 2, get 2 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.